Hello, everybody, and welcome back to What the FinTech Podcast. This is Kian Lynch.
Kevin Conway.
Brendan Donahue here.
Thank you guys for joining us, and we're going to get right into it. This is an episode about cryptocurrency mining. What is it? The details. And basically, we're going to give you all the information you need to know, so you're in the loop on this.
Yeah, some things we'll be mentioning here in this episode are how miners make money, the cost of mining, and what happens when the last Bitcoin is mined. But before we get into that, I think we should talk a little about Backum Company, and we'd like you guys to go and favorite us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is...
We're at Backum Co. on Twitter, and we just recently joined Facebook, as Kevin brought up before. And we'd like everyone to go like our page and follow us.
It's Backum Company, apostrophe after the K. And we really appreciate expanding the community. So with that said, we're going to get right into it. What is mining, like Bitcoin mining, cryptocurrency mining, and what are the miners doing?
All right, so mining is verifying transactions and then also sending out new Bitcoins or new crypto out into the world for people to use and for it to be transactions.
Yep, that's true. So when we talk about, verifying transactions, that's what mining is. Let's also talk about the foundation of, Bitcoins and cryptocurrencies. What it is, it's a ledger, an accounting ledger that tracks every transaction, allows people to complete transaction over the web. So when you're sending money to another party or someone sending it to you, the miners verify that transaction and then store it into the blockchain, into the accounting ledger, which makes it permanent.
Yes, the blockchain it basically runs mining and everything behind these new cryptos. It's the technology that's driving this whole new industry. So with that said, mining, just verifying and sending out new bitcoins or new cryptos.
Mm-hmm.
And so how does it work? They will verify these transactions, and once you have a set amount of transactions verified, they forms a block. And when this block is formed, they then have to take the header from the most recent block on the blockchain and compare it with the nonce, which is just a numerical value, to figure out the hash rate. And then once the hash rate is less than the value that the given on the blockchain, you create a new block, essentially, and mm-hmm. then the miners will get rewarded with some Bitcoins or some cryptos that they're mining.
Yep. So, that's why miners do this. They get a reward. When they verify transactions and that's released, then they receive a reward of some Bitcoins for, performing the work needed to make the whole system run. It's the incentive. And when a set amount of transactions are released in a block, some more Bitcoins are created as well and released, which the miners get a fraction of.
Yes, they also make money from the transaction itself. So when there's a gas limit, this is the amount of energy it takes to send your little bit of Bitcoin across, which is very minimal. It doesn't cost much, but the miners do need a fee for this.
Yeah.
And that's how they also get paid for mining.
Yeah, so let's talk a little about the cost of mining, the amount of energy it takes to complete these transactions. All the transactions are completed through cryptography and solving complex algorithmic problems. And in order to do that, you need a computer with has enough power and has enough energy to do that. And that's where the costs come in.
Yeah, you're going to need a gaming microchip these days, because you used to be, back in 2009, you used to be able to mine certain currencies just using your laptop or your desktop. And then that will, that allowed you to just mine Bitcoins on your own. But now today, mining and the prices of Bitcoin have skyrocketed, and the proof of work, which we should get into in a little, is... it's increasing, so these miners have to go out and have either huge farms or mining pools, or they can use software.
Yeah, before we go ahead, I wanted to talk a little bit about ASIC. It's their technology they use. It's the equipment they use to mine the coins, and
it's like a supercomputer, basically. It's an incredibly strong computer that you know, is able to complete these transactions quickly and earn the rewards. Because the more computing power you have, the more, also known as like hash power, in the Bitcoin world, like the more better and profitable,
the faster it works.
Exactly,
because the mining it comes in down to like three different things that will cost you in mining. It would be the software, which would be these ASIC programs. It comes down to time, and then it comes down to energy, how much it costs to actually run one of these things. And they're not quiet, right?
It varies from like the area you live. It could be 8 cents per, like, it could be 8 to 42 cents, depending on your cost of living or like your...
Yeah, actually, to run a mining farm, which some companies do, the energy requirement could actually be as powerful as that can run the entire country of Ireland, believe it or not.
Wow, now that speaks for a lot. And you know, you said that some companies are mining, and we're not just talking about, like, you know, cryptocurrency companies. A lot of like legitimate investment companies, like investment brokers, stock brokers, these big companies are performing, you know, these services in the cryptocurrency space, which I think speaks to the legitimacy of the market and how they want to earn these bitcoins or cryptocurrencies as well.
Yeah, it's becoming a huge industry, and really the only way you can get in it is if you're in a mining pool these days. And so what a mining pool is, it's a bunch of individuals that pay for, say, an ASIC device in one of these gigantic mining farms that you're sending money into them. And you'll be pooled in with a bunch of other people that have paid these mining farms, and you'll earn a certain percentage of a Bitcoin as days go on, years go on. You'll get paid for this stuff.
Yeah. And, you know,
it costs a little bit, but that's...
Yeah, so mining pools, you know, when you think about it, it's kind of just like the centralization of the computing power to complete these transactions. And when you really think about this and learn about it, you'll see that these mining pools can have power in the Bitcoin community, because they're the ones completing the transactions, they're the one running the blocks and the nodes that are verifying all of this. And when you have these, you know, different groups of power all doing this, trying to, like, I guess, earn more market share of the mining pool, there's some drama in the Bitcoin community. Not a lot of people know about it, but these mining pools, they get all fired up at each other. Everyone thinks they're the smartest. You know, everyone's helping the community, but everyone kind of thinks they know what's right, and that causes some drama.
They think they know what's right on the coding and the protocol of these currencies, and they want what's best for them. It's greedy, but
yeah,
there's enough out there to level the playing field.
Yeah, and you know, Bitcoin's an economic system, so if you want to act in your own self-interest, I mean, that's why miners mine in the first place, to earn a reward for themselves.
Yeah,
exactly. It's what makes the system run. And I think we wanted to cover one more topic on mining, and that's, like, if you wanted to get into it, how would you find out? Like, how would you find out how much it would cost you?
So, how much it would cost us? Well, basically, that's going back to the ASIC machines. Because those cost about, I think, $1,200 for a good one.
Yeah,
and they run on THCs, which are hash power. And, you know, that's it. That's really it. You just need to either go into a mining pool and buy in and have someone else do the work for you, or you can run one yourself.
Yeah.
And, but that, you know, it's with these machines, they're noisy. Not many people want them in their house, but... You know,
yeah, I mean, it's like a lifestyle commitment.
It's you're a
like,
new lifestyle.
Yeah, like a miner, you know, you're like, I'm a Bitcoin miner.
Yeah,
it's like
a miner.
It's like you're going back in the old days. I mean, not even the old days. It still happens all the time, but it's like you're going to mine, like a gold mine. That's the analogy of why it's called mining, because there's a finite supply of, you know, these commodities of Bitcoin or
gold. And it's
tough.
You're competing against other miners and other processing systems. Like, you might only be mining 0.00001 while these other guys are getting
a lot
more.
It's competitive, definitely.
It is.
So don't start mining in your parents' basement. That would be a bad thing to do.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it would be a bad thing. Maybe they approve of it and you can make some money off that.
Who knows? And it's not just Bitcoin mining. Every cryptocurrency needs miners, and even these altcoins, you know, they have their people mining And there's certain people who have been mining for years in this profitable financial system, and they're certainly reaping the rewards nowadays, the harvest of their farm, their mining farm.
Well, you could actually go, and if you are concerned with how much it does cost, there are websites to find out and go and check out about that. And so maybe one more topic I think we should talk about in mining is when the cryptocurrency supply runs out, everyone knows there's a finite supply.
Mm-hmm.
And Bitcoin itself only goes to 21 million.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when...
when that 21 millionth Bitcoin is mined.
So now verifying transactions, you're not getting rewarded for Bitcoins anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either Bitcoin should change its protocol, which I would think is a bad idea, because when you know it's 21 million, you know what you're getting at.
Yeah.
You know how the price will increase, or mm-hmm. you know the supply and demand.
Yeah.
Essentially. And so the only thing I could really see happening when coins do end up running out of their supply is higher transaction fees. The gas limits will increase, and
yeah, I see that as well. And you know, Kevin, you just mentioned like changing the protocol. It's like changing the code, and so Bitcoin has a transparent code. It's decentralized. Everyone can look at it. But then there's also a lot of speculation about from the developers about, you know, what's the best code? What's the best way to make this system work? And going back to what I said earlier about different groups, like some groups think that the code should be a certain way, and, you know, like which the code can affect transaction costs or can
like
affect
bigger block sizes.
Exactly. And so the developers got a lot of fights about that. And basically what they can do is they can change the code. Like you're able to, it's called a hard fork. When you change the code of a coin, it essentially becomes a different version of the coin. You're forking the code. And, you know, that happened with Bitcoin recently. So there's technically like two, like there's Bitcoin, and then there's also another similar version of Bitcoin as well called Bitcoin Cash. And, you know, it's important to understand they're similar. Like it's not that big of a deal technically that there's two different types, but well, you need to understand.
There's a lot of people that do see it as a huge deal how this hard fork is affecting a lot, because it's worth a lot of money for one of those coins. And there's some companies out there that you run exchanges through and you get money. They were supposed to distribute Bitcoin Cash to all these people, but some exchanges withheld that from them, claiming that Bitcoin Cash was not a fork, but more of a new altcoin being created.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's its own entity and doesn't associate itself with the old protocol and the old chain.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a concern right there. And then one other concern is just from, like, an economic monetary policy standpoint. You know, Bitcoin, part of the reasons why it's so attractive from economic view is that there's a set amount. There's a set amount, and that, you know, that impacts the value. But when you just fork a coin like that, and it's still similar, in a way, you're kind of doubling the supply of the currency, which changes the whole economic game.
Yeah, it halves the price. It's like splitting stocks.
Yeah, it's like splitting stocks. So there's a few reasons why a hard fork would occur.
The hard fork occurred really because Bitcoin Cash wanted to take on this new technology called SegWit. And pretty much all SegWit really does, it increases the block size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
the other old blockchain normal size of their blocks, it just increased it.
Yeah, it increased it, and you know, it's a good way to summarize it. So, yeah, the Bitcoin developers wanted to keep the certain block, wanted to change the block size, and then Bitcoin Cash decided to keep the old code. So, you know, it's really complex, and you have a lot of different parties, you know, vying for what they think is right, and creates drama and also creates, you know, economic success with all this competition. You get the brightest minds coming in trying to change the game.
It's young. It's still evolving, you know?
You're right. 8 years in, nobody's an expert.
Nobody knows, really.
So that's
what's
going
to happen. No one knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, we're only 8 years in. We're 8 years in, so there's not many experts out there.
We're all learning
as
we go.
It's important to keep that in mind as well.
All right, so I think that's going to conclude today's episode of Mining. And you guys should definitely go and do some research on your own and read into some of this stuff, because it will help you a lot and understand how the blockchain works.
Yep.
And how certain currencies are run. And there's a lot of stuff out there that you can really go and help yourself and research, like wallets and just transaction and security. This all has to do with mining and the blockchain.
Yeah, so do your research. Yeah, you have Backum as a resource if you want to learn any more. Our website is backum.co. And, you know, again, be sure to check out our Facebook, Backum Company, and our Twitter as well. Search us on Twitter. Thank you very much for joining us today. We hope you have a good weekend.
Enjoy the McGregor fight.
Let's go, McGregor.
Unprofessional, but I love it.
That was good.
There we go, everybody.